Welcome back, everybody. I'm Tom Hall. Yesterday, voters in Britain voted decisively to leave the European Union. So to discuss the impact that this decision might have in the U.S., we turn to Sydney Van Morgan. She is the director of the International Studies Program and senior lecturer in the Department of Sociology at Johns Hopkins University. Professor, good morning. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
So your reaction to this vote that seems to have taken a bunch of people by surprise.
It's quite stunning. You know, most observers were predicting that the Remain campaign would win the referendum. It didn't. And now everybody's scrambling to figure out what this is going to mean.
The stock market at the moment, Dow Jones down about 425 points. The German index down almost 7. The Hong Kong index down almost 3. The Japan index down almost 8. The London index, interestingly enough, down less than the others, down about 4%. Mm-hmm. So this has certainly had an impact in the global markets. What do you think the impact's going to be just in terms of the geopolitical situation and Britain's relationship with the U.S., Britain's relationship with Europe, and it's not only its allies, but its opponents.
Right. I think it's going to take some time to figure that out. Britain is now going to enter into an extended period of negotiating its exit from the European Union. It is going to have to renegotiate a number of treaties, not just with the European Union, but also with partners like the United States. And it's going to take quite a bit of time to figure out what the parameters of those agreements are going to be and how that's going to impact the country internally and both in terms of its and in terms of its external relationships. You know, I think internally, the position of Scotland in the Union is going to be a question that a lot of people are going to be sort of raising again.
Scotland voted overwhelmingly to stay.
To stay.
I mean, the folks who voted to stay were the people in the city of London, the people in the city of Birmingham,
right,
and everybody in Scotland.
And Scotland, yeah. So the Scottish politicians are already talking about the possibility of a second referendum on Scottish membership in the United Kingdom. But I think more generally, the EU has to worry about other countries looking at Britain, other member states of the European Union looking at Britain and saying, can we do this too?
Is this indicative of a growing trend towards isolationism and particularly anti-immigration? I emailed a friend of mine who lives in London this morning, and he had volunteered in the Remain campaign. He's a supporter of Remaining. And I asked him if he found any parallels between Nigel Farage, who is leading the Remain campaign, and Donald Trump, who talks about immigration in a very similar way. And my friend, whose name is Alistair Bruton, said Brexit and Trump seem to be powered by very similar demographics and resentment. He says, so if you think that Trump couldn't win, watch out. What we found here in Britain is that there are a lot of very angry people out there, cross about immigration, pumped up with nationalist pride and fed up with seeing none of the benefits of economic growth, who now are determined to make the rest of us listen.
It's a great question. As you may know, Donald Trump was already speaking this morning about the impact of this vote.
And ironically,
he's in Scotland congratulating Britain on the outcome. And I would not be surprised if his campaign exploits this to support his more isolationist perspective, approach, and some of the other arguments that he's making about migration. It's going to be fascinating to see how that
will others
evolves.
In Europe also exploit this. I mean, there's already been a call by people on the right in France and people on the right in Portugal, I think, to have a vote similar to this to try to get them to leave too. What's the status of the EU?
Absolutely. The EU is going to be hearing from its member states, and it's going to be looking to Britain and potentially trying to imitate this outcome and at least exploiting some of the arguments that were made to support the Leave campaign. Again, a lot is going to be determined by these agreements, the agreement that's going to have to be hashed out over the next 2 years. The free movement of people across Europe is one of the sort of fundamental principles of European integration. And there's going to be some really interesting discussions about the future of that principle, given this outcome.
Yeah, I misspoke. It's not Portugal that's talking about taking a vote. It's the Netherlands. The Netherlands saying, let's have a vote of our own here.
Yep. Yeah. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see other countries doing the same very, very soon.
Could this be the beginning of the slippery slope for the dissolution of the European Union?
I think the EU has to take this very seriously. And I would not be surprised if they attempt to implement some reforms. I think a lot of people on both sides of this debate have been calling for reform in the European Union for a long time. This is their opportunity to say we understand what some of the complaints have been and to, readjust their policies and their treaties. Very difficult thing to do in the European Union, given the number of players. But I think the EU is going to have to reform lest it see more Brexits in the future.
This is a long process. David Cameron announced that he will resign as prime minister, but not until October.
Right.
And he basically says, I'm not the guy to shepherd through this exit, this extrication between Britain and the EU. And then that's going to take a couple of years, perhaps. So this is going to be a long time. What needs to happen? I mean, the EU obviously isn't going to make this easy for Britain because they don't want to encourage anybody else to do the same thing.
That's right. So Britain is going to try to negotiate the best deals that it can for the UK. And the EU is going to try to negotiate the worst deal that it can for the UK because they don't want to embolden other countries, other leave movements. And so that is going to be a very interesting dance between, again, these various players. What Britain wants, or what the leave campaign wants, is something like what Norway has, which is access to the common market, but without membership in the European Union. But the European Union is not going to want to encourage other countries to do what Britain just did.
This ain't going to be easy.
It's going to be tough.
Sydney Van Morgan is the Director of International Studies at Johns Hopkins University. Thank you for coming in. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
That's it for us today. Maryland Morning's director, engineer, and co-host is Nathan Sterner. The show is produced by Rob Sivak, Bridget Armstrong, and Kathleen Cahill, with production assistance from Lauren Ferguson. Shane Raphael is our intern. Austin Coughlin from Clean Cuts wrote and recorded the Maryland Morning theme music. Coffee for our guests provided by Zeke's Coffee in Lauraville. You can check them out online at zekescoffee.com. Coming up Monday, the Institute for Islamic, Christian, and Jewish Studies is getting new leadership. The founding executive director, Dr. Christopher Layton, is stepping aside this month. He'll join me, along with scholars from the Institute, for Living Questions, our monthly series on religion in the public sphere, to talk about the changing profile of religion and the expanding portfolio of the ICJS. Plus, we'll have a preview of the African American Festival, which gets underway next weekend at Camden Yards. Hope you can join us Monday morning here on Maryland Morning. Until then, I'm Tom Hall. Thanks so much for listening. Garrison Keillor's up next with the Writer's Almanac. Have a great weekend.